On the line, I have Anne-Marie O'Neill from Thrombosis Ireland. Good morning, Anne-Marie. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm in great form. And yourself?
Grand. Not a bother.
So, Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, tell me about Thrombosis Ireland.
Okay, so in 1995, I had my gallbladder removed and there was some complications, so I needed a couple of surgeries together. And I got a hospital bug and I ended up dehydrated. And as a result, I ended up with a pulmonary embolism, which was basically hospital acquired because I didn't have any predisposition to my blood clotting. And I left hospital after about 6 weeks, quite sick, and put on an anticoagulation therapy, a drug for 6 months. And nobody really explained to me what had happened to me or the fact that there are signs and symptoms I should look out for in case it happened again, or the fact that it may most likely happen again because it's happened to me once. So I went out basically into the abyss armed with no information. And about 5 years later, I was back working full time and I got a pain in my chest. And there was a slight memory that maybe it was the same thing, but I wasn't sure. But there was nobody really I could ask for. I didn't know anybody else who it had happened to. I waited longer than I should have. And about 2 weeks later, I'm driving on the M50 and I can't stick the pain. And I drove myself to A&E with my children in the car and was admitted. And it turned out I had another pulmonary embolism. I was busy and I just needed to get home, mind my children, get back to work. And I didn't really probably ask questions, but then nobody really sat down and explained it to me. So I just went back out into the real world, still not armed with any information. I just remember being told not to get pregnant, that would, you know, higher my risk of having another blood clot. So a year later, of course, what did I do? I want to get pregnant. Not deliberately now, it just happened. And I was attached to St. James's. And they are the National Centre for Blood Coagulation. So the conversation really opened then and people explained, the nurses there explained to me what had happened. And I realised I'd put myself in real danger, that by not acting quickly on the symptoms of a blood clot, that basically it could have been fatal, particularly in the lung. And I got a fright. I was annoyed with myself. So I started to kind of research and see if there anybody I could contact here and talk to and get some more information. And there wasn't. There was no real support group in Ireland. There was ones in the UK and Canada and America. And that's really how Thrombosis Ireland was born. We started having information evenings in St. James's and some other hospitals around Dublin and inviting patients to come, and we'd ask consultants to give a talk. So we basically started with arming patients and empowering them with information, and then we set up a website. So we officially started last year, World Thrombosis Day last year, the 13th of October. We launched with our website, and we have an email that people can contact us on, or a phone number. And it's patients basically supporting patients. So we're just trying to improve services and information and get the medical profession to start talking about blood clots and letting people know the signs and symptoms.
Anne-Marie, that must have been absolutely terrifying, particularly when, you know, the whole thing of having the blood clots and that. But then to look around and no supports around you must have been absolutely terrifying.
But particularly, like, when you're pregnant and you have, there's a chance of blood clot, you're basically put on a drug that you're injecting into your tummy every day. And you're worried about your baby and you're worried about, why are you doing the right thing? Could you maybe do this on your own without putting the drug in, take the risk? Like, you just want to be able to talk to somebody that has done it before and said, look, my baby was fine. You know, that's one less thing you have to worry about and just keep yourself safe. But I couldn't have that conversation, bar with doctors and nurses who you feel are telling you the medically correct thing to do. But you just like the human side of it, the support side of it would have been nice.
If you were to ask me on a normal day, you know, thrombosis, and the the only thing that comes into my mind is deep vein thrombosis. You know, and
yeah, and people really associate that with like with flying.
Exactly.
But you're actually more likely to get a blood clot in hospital than you are, or in the 90 days after you've been to hospital, than you are on an airplane. It's a very low risk. And really, it has nothing to do with being in an airplane as such. It's more to do with the fact that you're sitting for such long periods of time. And then people tend to kind of drink, you know, drink coffee, drink alcohol. So they tend to sedate themselves a little bit, so they really aren't moving around on the airplane. And that's what increases your risk.
You know, I see around 4,000 people die every year from what do they call it, VTE,
which is venous thromboembolism, which is basically a DVT in your leg, where and a little piece of it breaks off and goes into your lung, and it is potentially fatal. But those figures, they're really extrapolated figures from the UK, because we don't have concrete, you know, proper statistics for Ireland, because people haven't really taken it serious enough and collected the proper data. So that's what we're advocating for as well. Let's know exactly what, how big this problem is, and let's work at trying to fix it. Now, look, the sad thing, the main message here is that it's preventable. If people are armed with a little bit of information, they can actually prevent it in most cases. Okay? So if you keep your blood flowing, so keep moving, don't sit for hours on end. So keep, you know, get the blood flowing in your legs. Keep yourself hydrated. And also, ask the question. Ask your doctor. If you're going to be admitted to hospital, ask to be assessed for your risk. Ask for your risk of blood clots to be assessed. And then know what you're dealing with. Then they know. If they've assessed you and they realise, oh, my God, this person is prone to blood clots. Because there are reasons. There are, you know, there are things that increase your risk. So if you have cancer or you're under cancer treatment, you have a 1 in 5 chance of getting a blood clot. So people are worried and they're trying to deal with the diagnosis of cancer. So it's very hard to then add another problem onto it. But the thing about this problem is that it is preventable if you know. And if you know the signs and symptoms and get it dealt with quick, it won't be an issue. But if you ignore these signs, then it is an issue. And the thing is, what are the signs?
Exactly.
Does anybody know the signs? You know? I'll call out the signs here. Of a blood clot in your leg will be swelling or pain in your leg or calf, warmth and redness in the leg, and maybe a discoloration of the skin. So, like, not everybody gets a discoloration, and some people would think maybe, oh, I've pulled a muscle or something. But if it's out of the blue, if there's no real reason for it, you know, go and get it checked. If you have swelling or pain or warmth in your leg, warmth or redness in your leg, get it checked, because it can be dealt with as a DVT in your leg. But if it breaks off and goes into your lung, it's a much more serious issue. So prevent it from going that far, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, in your chest, if you've got unexplained shortness of breath, you've got chest pain, particularly when breathing deeply, or if you're coughing up blood, even only a little bit of blood, go and get a check, because this is potentially fatal. So, like, not to scare people. It's really about educating people to know that if you experience these symptoms, just take action fast. Go to your doctor, go to your A&E, say, I'm concerned I have these symptoms, could you check me, please? Because the alternative is could be deadly.
And you have, you've put together a website.
Yes, we have a website, thrombosisireland.ie, and anybody is welcome to come onto it. And there's some leaflets on, like, the drugs that you maybe put on. There's leaflets on what thrombosis is, what your signs and symptoms are, and you can download any of those or check out any of that information. Just arm yourself so that you can protect yourself and the people around you. I might notice something in one of my family members or one of my friends. I was at a talk recently, and there was a patient in the audience who said that he had dropped into his neighbour the day before, and she had a bit of swelling on her ankle. And she said she didn't remember going over on the ankle. And he said to her, I think you should get that checked. I don't like the look of it. And she went, and she had quite a large DVT in her leg. And if she hadn't gone and just thought it was an ankle and putting the leg up and, you know, not doing anything about it, it could have gone in for a lung and been safe, you know? So not all TEs, not all lung clots are fatal. I'm a survivor. I survived two of them. But I caught them early enough, not from being knowledgeable, but by chance, and thanks be to God I did. But I just don't want to put anybody else in that position. I feel like I played a bit of Russian roulette with my life because of my lack of knowledge. And nobody can escape blood clots. You know, like, anybody can get them. It doesn't matter what your age, what your health, what your fitness level. Anybody is at risk of a blood clot. So we all need to know the signs and symptoms and keep each other safe.
And I know we've missed it a little. Last Friday was World Thrombosis Day.
Yes. It's a world movement that started in America. And basically, people are joining from all over the world. And it's clinicians and patients joining just to raise awareness about thrombosis and to get people to take action, to get people to just get to know the signs and symptoms, and to get doctors and nurses to open the conversation in the hospital and inform their patients, and particularly to let them know about the 90 days. I mean, nobody knows. Nobody seems to have any idea that when they go home from hospital, they're still at high risk of a blood clot. For 90 days from the date of their admission to hospital, they need to know the signs and symptoms and to act on them. So you know those compression socks that you get in hospital?
Yes, indeed.
Most of us, they're so uncomfortable. You go home and you think, oh, I'm not wearing them. Nobody's looking at me. But if you have been asked by your doctor to wear them, then you're obviously at a higher risk of a blood clot and you need to protect yourself. And they compress the blood and keep the blood flowing in your legs. So wear them. If you've been asked to wear them, then wear them for the 90 days. They'll keep you safe. Or for whatever length of time your doctor tells you to do it. Also, take your medication. If they've given you medication, take it on time and properly. And know your signs and symptoms of a blood clot so you can take action. Then you've kind of got a little safety net and you can protect yourself.
And is it also a good idea for, as we get a little bit older, if we're flying off to the sun, down to Tenerife or the Canaries or somewhere like that, that we should be wearing those compression socks on the aircraft as well?
Well, if you're worried about it, I would say talk to your GP. If your GP thinks it's necessary, then you should. The airplanes give you flight socks. They're slightly different to the socks that you would have been given in hospital. They wouldn't be as tight. You know, flight socks are fine. You can buy them in Boots, and they're not going to do any harm if you wear them. But if you are concerned that you may be of higher risk, they say age 60 and over would increase your risk as well. But if you have other underlying reasons, like you're unwell or you've had cancer or maybe you've just had a baby, like 6 weeks after having a baby is a little bit more risky as well, then maybe you should talk to your GP about it and maybe get measured for proper compression socks, you know. But they certainly won't do any harm if the airplane is giving them out or you want to buy some over the counter in a chemist. They'll only help. But the most important thing really is to keep moving. Keep moving every hour or so. Take a walk to the bathroom. Take a glass of water. You know, keep hydrated and keep moving. Keep your blood flowing. And then if you do end up with some pain and you feel, oh God, I'm not happy with that, go and get it checked. Don't ignore it. Don't let anybody make you feel like a hypochondriac. You're basically protecting yourself.
And I take it as well, if you're not too steady on the pins, I presume, other exercises, even if you're sitting down, moving your feet up and down, generally just keeping the blood flowing won't do
Absolutely.
Any harm.
Like a cycle movement, or do the alphabet with your ankles. Every hour or so, do the alphabet in 26 movements. And that'll just keep the blood flowing. And then, you know, get out of the armchair. Get up and make a cup of tea. You know, if you're constricting your blood flow behind the knee, is not helpful. So, yes, sit and enjoy your movie. You know, mind yourself, relax in your chair. But get up every so often and take a look. Particularly gaming as well. I mean, people could game for hours and not realise they haven't moved. You know, and there has been incidents of young people getting DVTs from gaming.
Well, I know a lot of the large multinationals, particularly in the tech industry, are now they have these deskless offices where that you actually stand. You don't actually sit. They have kind of like breakfast bar type things, and that's where you work on that. You don't actually sit down. I take it that that's part of it as well. So if people
There was paper done. I couldn't give you the medical details, but there's a phenomenon called e-thrombosis, which is basically from sitting at your desk or, you know, sitting at your computer all the time, and people have been known to get it. But look, generally, it's any instance where you're immobile for any long periods of time. So it can cover in the workplace. It can cover any travelling, both on trains, in cars, in planes, and particularly in hospitals. 60% of the incidents are people who have been in hospital, are in hospital, or been in hospital in the previous 90 days. So the red flag is around hospitals, but we also need to be aware of any sort of areas in our life where there's inactivity.
I'm kind of taken aback a little that once you've had a procedure in hospital, you're at risk for 90 days. So that's kind of, was it 3 months?
Once you've been. Once you've been in.
You know, you know, I would call myself, or I think myself as, you know, I won't say not a know-all, but, you know, having a reasonable understanding of what's going on around me. And that's something that it kind of frightens me to think of, that it's such a widespread thing, and I didn't know anything about it. And I wonder how many of our listeners knew that either. And it's very... it's very good to know, and it's, you know, it's
don't feel bad about it, Michael. I actually had two blood clots and still wasn't knowledgeable, and still, you know, went out into the real world outside the hospital, you know, with no knowledge. And I considered myself a, you know, fairly intelligent person that would, you know, have an idea what's going on around me. I was so annoyed with myself for not knowing. But really, you know, we're just trying to, Thrombosis Ireland are just trying to encourage everybody in the country to just arm themselves with that little bit of knowledge. Just arm themselves with the signs and symptoms of a blood clot, and also empower themselves to ask the question, to go to their GP and say, can you assess me for my risk of blood clot? Or particularly if you're going into hospital, to be assessed, just to keep yourself safe. Because if you're assessed, you know, and they say, right, you're in this bracket that maybe are at risk, then they can make a decision to maybe give you some anticoagulation drugs while you're in there, or for those 90 days when you go home. You know, and that little question could actually save your life. So it's all about just empowering yourself with the knowledge. And it's only a little bit of knowledge. And I think the reason why people haven't got the message, it's nearly too simple. Hydrate, keep moving, and just know the signs and symptoms and take action. I mean, that's it. That's all you need to do. And that's what will most likely keep you safe.
And if somebody wants to look up more on this, where can they go?
They can go to thrombosisireland.ie or thrombocoach.com.
And if somebody wants to help you out, wants to support, get involved, how can they do that?
Oh, my God, it would be fantastic, because we haven't got enough people on the ground, because it's a big job to do. But we're looking for anybody who'd be interested, who has had experience of blood clots or would have any sort of specialty that might help us with regard to building this charity and getting the awareness out there, could contact myself at info@thrombosisireland.ie, and I'll certainly get straight back to them.
That is great. Listen, Anne-Marie, thank you very much for coming on and talking to me this morning. I've learned something.
You're very welcome, Michael.
I've learned something very important, and I hope our listeners have learned something as well.
So do I. I hope I've got the message across. And thank you very much for having me on, because any opportunity to raise awareness about blood clots could actually save a life. If we save one life by having this conversation, it's well worth it.
It is indeed. Anne-Marie, thank you very much. All the best.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.